from KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those big swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
And welcome into the Graybar Sports Open Line for a Monday night. It's Joe Pott. I always feel like I'm disappointing people. That open starts, and here's Matt Pauly, and everybody's waiting for Matt Pauly. Hopefully you know by now that Matt and his wife had their second kid. His wife, Stephanie, had their second child last week. I think it was Thursday. They had their second daughter, so we congratulate Matt and Stephanie again. And welcome to the world, Anna Lee, his second daughter. And so because of that, I am in for Matt Pauly, and I'll be in for Matt Pauly for a little while. So I'll have the Cardinals coverage for you the next few days. And we certainly are glad to allow Matt to have some time, as he should, to be home with his family. And he is now a two times girl dad, which is what I am and proud to be, too. So very cool for him and for the Pauly family. And for that, you've got me. And we've got some fun things, I think, coming up here tonight on Sports Open Line on KMOX. At some point in the 7 o'clock hour, I do plan to get to some calls so we can talk about a couple of things that's on my mind, and I think probably on your mind. I'm really interested to know if you are, as a Cardinal fan, or maybe just a casual baseball fan, are you not? Are you avoiding going to games? Are you trying to make a statement not going to games? There was an article in the Post-Dispatch this week, yesterday, as a matter of fact, that or maybe this morning, I think even it was, that the Saturday crowd, the announced crowd of 34,577, that was the smallest Busch Stadium 3 crowd on a Saturday in the history of the ballpark, which opened in 2006. So are you not going to games? Are you intentionally not going to games, not going to Cardinal games, to make a statement, to protest, if you will, what has been the play on the field the last couple of years? And if you're not, I'm interested only because it was way worse last year. So if you're not going to games this year, were you still going last year, but now you've decided that at some point in time in there, there was a tipping point that you're no longer going to games? So I want to know about that for one thing, because this is a better team. This is a better version of the Cardinals than 2023 was. I don't think they're the best version of the Cardinals by any means. I don't think that... And that doesn't mean they can't be even a better version. I think there is some room there, and I'll talk about that a little bit as well. I talked about it yesterday on our post-game show a little bit after the Cardinals got the win against the Rockies and split that series, a series that I think most of us probably believed they should have taken at least three or four. It's really hard to sweep a four-game series. I think it was absolutely expected that you take three or four from a really bad team in the Rockies, and they only split. So that's fine. And so you are, but you're stuck in this National League Central division that is really locked up as well. And in fact, the National League that's really locked up as well. And because of that, the Cardinals are somewhat relevant. And somewhat relevant means they're right in the thick of a wild card spot. They're right now tied for second with the Cubs and the Reds in the National League Central. The Pirates are one half game back. You have a huge series coming up with the Pittsburgh Pirates coming to town starting tomorrow. You also have a tremendous prospect in Paul Skeens on the mound tomorrow night for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Man, if you're mad at the Cardinals, but you're a baseball fan, I don't know how you want to pass up getting a chance to see Paul Skeens in person. I'm excited by that, and we are going to talk to John Parato, who covers the Pittsburgh Pirates. We're going to talk to him coming up in our next segment here. So we'll talk about that a little bit and what this matchup means for both the Pirates and the Cardinals at Busch Stadium, which starts tomorrow. But I'm interested to know about that. If, in fact, you are saying, okay, I've had enough, I don't want to spend my money, we can talk about that. And again, we'll do that in the 7 o'clock hour. I also saw a couple of things today. The annual players survey came out, some of those results, and I have not seen all of the results. I have seen some of the results, and I do think some of those are interesting, so we can talk about that a little bit later in the show. As I mentioned, we're going to talk about the Pirates series. We're also going to talk a little bit about the UFL. Of course, the Battlehawks finished their season yesterday. Disappointing finish, obviously, to a team that really got off to a really good start. And obviously, you did not have a healthy quarterback the last couple of weeks in A.J. McCarron. And we'll talk with Mike Mitchell, who is a UFL. He covers the UFL for Sports Illustrated. And so we'll talk to him about that, about what he took from the crowds that he saw this year at the Dome. Also, what he expects for the championship game, which will also be at the Dome. And, of course, will not have the Battlehawks in it. It'll be essentially a neutral site game, even more so than UFL games are anyway, because these teams, even the St. Louis Battlehawks, aren't based here. They're not practicing here all week. They're coming in to play their home games. So we'll ask him about that. That's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. At the end of this hour, at the end of the 6 o'clock hour, we'll hear a little bit from Andy Strickland. He and I talked. We had a kind of a short conversation, but we reminisced a little bit about the 5-year anniversary of the Stanley Cup win for the St. Louis Blues, which is right around the corner, right in the thick of it right now, as a matter of fact. At this point, 5 years ago, we were just waiting for Game 7. So that's where we were. And so you'll hear from Andy Strickland as well. We'll take a break now. When we come back, we'll talk about this baseball series coming up at Busch Stadium between the Cards and the Pirates. John Parada will join us on the other side of the break. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. We're coming back after this on Camo X.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back on the Graybar Sports Open Line on a Monday night without Cardinal baseball. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. And we're going to talk some Cardinal baseball and some baseball in general. The Pittsburgh Pirates coming to town to start a series tomorrow night. It'll be a Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and then Thursday afternoon game as the Cards and the Pirates get together for the first time this year. And John Parado joins us from PittsburghBaseballNow.com to chat a little bit about this series and certainly about a specific enticing pitching pitcher that we're going to see tomorrow night. John, thanks for taking some time tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. This is interesting in that the National League Central Division and the National League in general is it is so jammed up, it's so locked up that all of these teams, the Cardinals, the Pirates, everybody right now, certainly relevant despite being a couple games under 500.
It certainly is. It seems like all 15 teams are in playoff contention. I know that's not quite the case, but literally, I mean, there are three teams tied for the final wild card spot, and the Pirates are only a half game behind out of the last wild card at 31-34. And, you know, even in the division, I know Milwaukee has a bit of a cushion with a 6-game lead, but then you look at the Pirates, Cardinals, Reds, and Cubs are all right there bunched together. And I certainly don't think the Brewers are invincible by any means. And I could see any of the four teams possibly chasing down the Brewers.
Yeah, I think that they're it certainly feels to me as we watch that the Brewers are going to have some sort of, I don't know if it's regression or correction back to, you know, closer to that 500 mark. It feels like it anyway. I was chatting in the at Busch Stadium over the weekend with another media member, and we were just kind of talking, and he was wondering kind of aloud whether or not this was going to be more what we see from baseball going forward, that maybe there's not going to be these crazy big spenders, but there's going to be teams that are going to spend enough that they're going to be able to stay relevant, hang around, ultimately get into the postseason and take your chances. And we saw it for the most part with Arizona last year. They obviously get all the way to the World Series. Do you feel like maybe we are going in that direction?
Yeah, I think so. With some of the teams, I think you always have some teams like the Yankees and Red Sox and Dodgers, and probably, you know, certainly the Mets now with Steve Cohen as owner. You know, those teams will, and I think you probably lump the Phillies in that group now as teams that probably pretty much will always spend top dollar and try to, you know, be at the top of the payroll system and try to, you know, buy as many players as they can in free agency. But, yeah, I think a lot of other teams realized you don't need a huge payroll to go to the playoffs, especially now that there's six teams in each league go and three wild card spots. So, yeah, I could I do think it's bringing about more parity within baseball and giving more teams a chance. In fact, if you look right now, there are only five teams that are five or more games out of the last wild card. So really, I mean, almost every team theoretically still has a legitimate chance to make the playoffs, and here we are in the middle of June almost.
And if nothing else, it certainly makes for some tighter series, some more exciting games. And I know that the contrarian's going to say it's mediocrity, it's not parity, but the fact is it does make for some exciting series.
It does. And, I mean, you know, more meaningful games mean, you know, bigger crowds, bigger TV audiences, bigger radio audiences. So, you know, I think it's good for the sport myself. The more teams that are competitive, you know, the more interest there is. And I don't really see a downside to that. And I understand, I get the people saying it's mediocrity or worse or just too many teams with futility. But I think it's fun. And I think if the standings stay bunched like this all year, and eventually I think they'll spread out a little bit because they usually do. But I do think there will be a lot of teams in contention come August and September. And for me, the more people, more fans, not just in one city, but all the cities that have hope, that just makes the sport stronger and more visible in my estimation.
Yeah, I would agree with you. John Parrotto's with us from PittsburghBaseballNow.com. The Pirates, of course, coming into town to start a series at Busch tomorrow night. And, John, the Cardinals, we've talked a lot here about the Cardinals having a big three in the bullpen in Romero and Kittredge and Helsley. And the Pirates are shaping up to have a sort of big three in that bullpen as well, with Aroldis Chapman, Colin Holderman, and David Bednar. And the Pirates are able to shorten those games if they can get a lead, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. And, you know, that's what they were counting on coming into spring training after they'd signed Aroldis Chapman. And, of course, Holderman was a holdover from 2 years ago. They got him in a trade from the Mets, and Bednar had been an all-star each of the last two seasons. And that was the way they envisioned, you know, that unfolding, have their starter get them through five or six innings, then turn it over to the big three at the end of the bullpen. But Bednar got hurt in spring training, only pitched twice in the Grapefruit League in the last 3 days of the spring. And he really was rusty and didn't look good at all for the first month or so of the season. But now he's converted 13 saves in a row, and he seems back to his all-star form. Holderman got sick in spring training, lost 17 pounds, wound up in the hospital for a while, and it took him a little while to get going, but now he has an ERA under one. And Chapman, he's really been unhittable all year. His biggest problem has been walks. He's had a lot of control issues and a lot of command problems, but over the last two or three weeks, he seems to have found the strike zone on a more consistent basis, and he's throwing 104 miles an hour at 36 years old, which is pretty amazing.
And just talking about pitchers, and I mentioned this as well, but Cardinals fans are going to get a treat. And I'll ask you, how fun has it been to watch the rookie, the number two prospect now in Major League Baseball, according to MLB Pipeline, Paul Skeens, get out there and do his thing in the bigs?
Well, he's fun. I mean, you know, I mean, he throws 100 miles an hour like it's nothing.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing. Just pitch after pitch after pitch is 100, 99, 99, 100. Occasionally dips down to 98 or 97, but it's almost always 99 or 100, and occasionally 101. And I mean, this isn't just a guy reaching back for a little special, you know, a little something extra in a big situation. This is a guy who routinely is throwing 100 miles per hour. And, you know, he also has the outstanding They call it a splinker. It's a mix mm-hmm. between a split finger pitch and a sinker. And when it's on, and it's been on for the most part in the five starts he's made here in the big leagues, it's almost unhittable. It comes in hard in the mid to high 90s with a late break, and it drops at the last second. He also has a slider that can buckle people's knees, and an okay curveball that he can throw in for show. And his changeup is getting better. So, I mean, this is a guy who potentially is going to be a five-pitch pitcher throwing 100 miles per hour, and you add on the fact he just turned 22 and he has maturity of somebody that's more like 32, has really no nerves, no fear, confidence without being cocky, and it's pretty amazing package. And, you know, people here are excited and justifiably so, and I know people around baseball are, because when I talk to people from other teams, when they come through town or whatever, Skeens is the first thing they ask about.
Yeah, I just said that, as a matter of fact. We were talking about just some of the crowds being down at Busch Stadium, and I said if you're a baseball fan even a little bit, you want to come out. These are the kind of players that you want to come out and you want to get a look at in person.
Oh, absolutely. I think he'd be a great drawing card. You know, he has been here. The atmosphere has been very electric in his three starts he's made here in Pittsburgh. The other two came on the road. One was in Detroit, and the other one was in Chicago, Wrigley Field. And, I mean, they've become, maybe spectacle is a little too strong of a word, but certainly very anticipated. And, you know, I'll give you an example. Pittsburgh doesn't usually draw in the high 20s on weeknights, at least on, on Mondays through Thursdays. He pitched Wednesday last week, and there were 29,000 people in the stands. And, I mean, it was electric. It was like a opening day type atmosphere. People were buzzing on each pitch, and he got started the game off by striking out Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani on three pitches each, and got him swinging, and the crowd went crazy, and it is an event. And he is one guy, if I were a Cardinal fan, and I don't usually tell people how to spend their money, but I think he's worth the price of admission to go see him tomorrow night. If I were in St. Louis, and I know there's plenty of baseball fans there. People love baseball in St. Louis. He's definitely worth the price to go see. And of course, when I say that, they'll knock him out in the second inning tomorrow night. Everyone will want the refund from me.
That tends to be how it works. I don't want to get by without mentioning Mitch Keller, who has been really, really good the last couple of months. He is 6-0 with a 1.1 ERA over the last couple of months now.
Yeah, he's the first Pirates pitcher to win six straight starts since Garrett Cole in 2015, which is the last year they were in the postseason here in Pittsburgh. He's progressively gotten better the last couple of years. He really struggled early on in his career, and there were some people not only outside the organization but inside the organization that really wondered if he was going to become the type of pitcher they had hoped he would be when he was coming up through the farm system. But he really found his footing 2 years ago in the second half of the season, made the All-Star team last year, got off to a slow start this year, but boy, he's really hit stride here in the last 6 weeks, six starts. And I think the other, I think part of this too is, they have Skeens and they have Jared Jones, another rookie who's having a really good season too. And Keller doesn't have to carry the entire rotation anymore. I mean, he pretty much was the one guy they could count on last year in the rotation, and Johan Oviedo, to an extent, the former Cardinal, until he blew his elbow out. And I think Keller's much more relaxed. I don't think he feels like he has the weight of the entire pitching staff on his shoulders. He knows that he doesn't have to go out and be perfect and give them a great outing every time, because the other four pitchers aren't capable of it on a regular basis. And I think that's made him even that much better, knowing that he does have a little margin for error now. And if he has a mediocre start, that it's not going to be four more days before they have another starting pitcher have a good start when his turn comes back around.
Well, just a half a game separates the Cards and the Pirates. That series starts tomorrow. John Parato, I appreciate you catching up with us tonight and talking a little baseball, and perhaps we'll see you at Busch Stadium over the next couple of days.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. Absolutely. That's John Parrotto, PittsburghBaseballNow.com. You can follow him as well at Jay Parrotto. That's two R's and two T's. And we are coming back on Sports Open Line. We're going to visit with Andy Strickland on the other side of the break, talk a little bit about what happened 5 years ago here for the Blues. That's next. This is Camo X. We're back in on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. And I teased a little bit incorrectly, so we'll have Andy Strickland coming up next hour, and we are going to visit with Mike Mitchell this hour. And Mike Mitchell is waiting patiently. We appreciate it. Mike covers the UFL for Sports Illustrated, and of course, we are down to the championship game coming up on Sunday. But Mike, thanks for taking some time tonight.
Thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Without a doubt. Were you in town at the game last night by chance?
Unfortunately not. You know, although the way things worked out, maybe fortunately, if you were someone who's rooting for St. Louis, it's unfortunate the way the season ended there for the Battle Hawks. The dream of hosting a championship game in St. Louis, you know, it went away. We'll see what happens next year, what site the UFL decides will be the, I guess, wink, wink, neutral site for the next year's championship game. But that's unfortunate how things turned out. It's been a good 2 year run for the Battle Hawks. They missed the playoffs last year, although kind of on a technicality this year, showed a lot of promise, but unfortunately fell short.
And look, it's not a coincidence, obviously. AJ McCarron probably not up to full strength, and he said as much at the end of the game yesterday in his comments after the game, but I saw a lot of chatter about his comments, just kind of talking about that really kind of embodies what you get certainly out of the UFL and out of spring football in general is that kind of, heart and drive like you saw from McCarron.
Yeah, financially, A.J. McCarron doesn't need to play
right
in the UFL. Obviously, the reduced salaries for quarterbacks a year ago, the XFL quarterbacks were making over six figures. I mean, that's nothing in comparison to NFL money. But this season, every player's making $50,000. A little over $50,000 a season. So AJ McCarron's playing in the UFL because he's been in the NFL for quite some time and just hasn't had an opportunity to lead a team the way he did back in Alabama. So, you know, he's doing it for all the right reasons, and he's been a great ambassador for the league, you know. And, you know, here he was asking the Cincinnati Bengals to let him out of his deal. He was going to be a free agent in March, but he wanted to be able to join the Battle Hawks in camp before then. So they made the accommodation, and AJ, who latched onto the Bengals last year as a backup, unfortunately after Joe Burrow got hurt and all that craziness. And it was definitely an emotional press conference with McCarron. You don't know what the next year will bring, but you would think he'd like to go out on a better note than he did yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And I think, you know, as you mentioned, too, I'm sure Battlehawks fans wished that it was going to be their team in the Dome next Sunday. Instead, it'll be Birmingham and San Antonio. How impressed have you been with the response, not just this year, but last year and this year, of the fans in St. Louis?
St. Louis has always been a tremendous sports city. And I love the fact that the redemption for St. Louis, them proving how much they love pro football and how they'll support a team. And they're really the diamond standard for spring pro football is St. Louis fans. And the UFL can only wish to find markets that embrace this pro football league the way St. Louis has. And so, yeah, I'm sure in the league office, they'll never say this publicly. In fact, I know a few different people who are not too happy that St. Louis, because there was potential there for St. Louis to be in the UFL title game with an amazing crowd attendance. What a scene. And now that the Battlehawks are not in the championship game, it remains to be seen, you know, how many San Antonio fans travel to the game, how many Birmingham fans travel to the game, and how many St. Louis fans decide, you know what, even though our team is not in this game, we'll show up. I'm sure the resale market's heating up for whoever did purchase tickets that may decide not to go now, which is unfortunate. So because we could have seen, I know earlier this season the Battlehawks had over 40,000 fans, and that was a modern-day spring pro football record for attendance. been several decades since we've seen that kind, those kind of numbers in this concept, in this type of league. So it's unfortunate from a business aspect. I mean, the Battlehawks have drawn really well at the box office, and they've done really well in the TV ratings. And so if the UFL, I can only imagine how successful the UFL would be if they had eight Battlehawks-like franchises going on at once. Yeah, so, but they really carry the league in terms of they're the most beloved team in spring pro football. It just didn't end the way everybody wanted to, at least in the St. Louis side of things, and maybe in the UFL office side of things as well.
Mike Mitchell covers the UFL for Sports Illustrated, and you know, one of the things that I like about the product and what the UFL is doing is I think of a guy like Wade Phillips, and I saw that you had retweeted something today, you know, just kind of talking about the record, the long history that Wade Phillips has as a head coach and as a coordinator. But as a head coach, he's never been able to have a team in the championship game, which he obviously will now in San Antonio. And so I think that's a kind of a cool side of this as well. It's not just the players that are...
that he doesn't have to go out and be perfect and give them a great outing every time because the other four pitchers aren't capable of it on a regular basis. And I think that's made him even that much better, knowing that he does have a little margin for error now. And if he has a mediocre start, that it's not going to be four more days before they have another starting pitcher have a good start when his turn comes back around.
Well, just a half a game separates the Cards and the Pirates. That series starts tomorrow. John Parrotto, I appreciate you catching up with us tonight and talking a little baseball, and perhaps we'll see you at Busch Stadium over the next couple of days.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. Absolutely. That's John Parrotto, PittsburghBaseballNow.com. You can follow him as well at JParrotto. That's two R's and two T's. And we are coming back on Sports Open Line. We're going to visit with Andy Strickland on the other side of the break, talk a little bit about what happened 5 years ago here for the Blues. That's next. This is Camo X. We're back in on the Graybar Sports Open Line. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. And I teased a little bit incorrectly, so we'll have Andy Strickland coming up next hour, and we are going to visit with Mike Mitchell this hour. And Mike Mitchell is waiting patiently. We appreciate it. Mike covers the UFL for Sports Illustrated, and of course, we are down to the championship game coming up on Sunday. But Mike, thanks for taking some time tonight.
Thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Without a doubt. Were you in town at the game last night by chance?
Unfortunately not. You know, although the way things worked out, maybe fortunately, if you were someone who's rooting for St. Louis, it's unfortunate the way the season ended there for the Battlehawks. The dream of hosting a championship game in St. Louis, you know, it went away. We'll see what happens next year, what site the UFL decides will be the, I guess, wink, wink, neutral site for the next year's championship game. But that's unfortunate how things turned out. It's been a good 2-year run for the Battlehawks. They missed the playoffs last year, although kind of on a technicality. This year showed a lot of promise, but unfortunately fell short.
And look, it's not a coincidence, obviously. AJ McCarron probably not up to full strength, and he said as much at the end of the game yesterday in his comments after the game, but I saw a lot of chatter about his comments, just kind of talking about that really kind of embodies what you get certainly out of the UFL and out of spring football in general is that kind of, heart and drive like you saw from McCarron.
Yeah, financially, A.J. McCarron doesn't need to play in the UFL. Obviously, the reduced salaries for quarterbacks a year ago, the XFL quarterbacks were making over six figures. I mean, that's nothing in compared to NFL money. But this season, every player's making $50,000. A little over $50,000 a season. So AJ McCarron's playing in the UFL because he's been in the NFL for quite some time and just hasn't had an opportunity to lead a team the way he did back in Alabama. So, you know, he's doing it for all the right reasons, and he's been a great ambassador for the league, you know. And, you know, here he was asking the Cincinnati Bengals to let him out of his deal. He was going to be a free agent in March, but he wanted to be able to join the Battlehawks in camp before then. So they made the accommodation, and AJ, who latched onto the Bengals last year as a backup, unfortunately after Joe Burrow got hurt and all that craziness. And it was definitely an emotional press conference with McCarron. You don't know what the next year will bring, but you would think he'd like to go out on a better note than he did yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And I think, you know, as you mentioned, too, I'm sure Battlehawks fans wish that it was going to be their team in the Dome next Sunday. Instead, it'll be Birmingham and San Antonio. How impressed have you been with the response, not just this year, but last year and this year, of the fans in St. Louis?
Well, St. Louis has always been a tremendous sports city, and I love the fact that the redemption for St. Louis, you know, them proving how much they love pro football and how they'll support a team, and they're really the diamond standard for spring pro football is St. Louis fans, and the UFL can only wish to find markets that embrace this pro football league the way St. Louis has. And so, yeah, I'm sure in the league office, they'll never say this publicly. In fact, I know a few different people who are not too happy that St. Louis, because there was potential there for St. Louis to be in the UFL title game with an amazing crowd attendance. What a scene. And now that the Battlehawks are not in the championship game, it remains to be seen, you know, how many San Antonio fans travel to the game, how many Birmingham fans travel to the game, and how many St. Louis fans decide, you know what, even though our team is not in this game, we'll show up. I'm sure the resale market's heating up for whoever did purchase tickets that may decide not to go now, which is unfortunate. So because we could have seen, I know earlier this season the Battlehawks had over 40,000 fans, and that was a modern-day spring pro football record for attendance. It's been several decades since we've seen those kind of numbers. In this concept, in this type of league. So it's unfortunate from a business aspect. I mean, the Battlehawks have drawn really well at the box office, and they've done really well in the TV ratings. And so if the UFL, I can only imagine how successful the UFL would be if they had eight Battlehawks-like franchises right. going on at once. Yeah, so, but they really carry the league in terms of they're the most beloved team in spring pro football. It just didn't end. Didn't end the way everybody wanted to, at least in the St. Louis side of things, and maybe in the UFL office side of things as well.
Mike Mitchell covers the UFL for Sports Illustrated, and you know, one of the things that I like about the product and what the UFL is doing is I think of a guy like Wade Phillips, and I saw that you had retweeted something today, you know, just kind of talking about the record, the long history that Wade Phillips has as a head coach and as a coordinator. But as a head coach, he's never been able to have a team in the championship game, which he obviously will now in San Antonio. And so I think that's a kind of a cool side of this as well. It's not just the players that are either getting a second chance or maybe another life in the game of football, but it's guys like Wade Phillips as well.
No question about it. It's an excellent point. And what the crazy thing about the whole Wade Phillips situation, not to go down the rabbit hole here, but there was a strong chance that Wade Phillips was not going to be a part of the UFL. And if it wasn't for Hines Ward passing on signing the new coaching contract paperwork that was presented to coaches in January, Wade was going to be out in Houston, which is crazy to think because that's where, you know, he and his family, you know, his legendary father of made hay, so to speak, in the football world in Houston, the Oilers and everything else. So there was a chance that Wade was not going to be a part of the UFL because the Roughnecks, although the brand is still around, was taken over by the Houston Gamblers franchise from the USFL. So Wade was going to be out if Hines Ward had accepted the new contractual terms. That's what makes the championship game a lot more interesting because we don't know for sure. You figure Anthony Becht will be back. You figure, but all the coaching contracts run out on June 30th.
Okay.
At the end of the month. So these guys will have to renew because what the UFL's done through their owners now, which is Fox, Disney, Redbird Capital, Dwayne Johnson, and Danny Garcia, is they have everyone in the league on seasonal payroll. So we don't know if this is the last ride for Wade Phillips. But my sense of it all is that he loves doing what he's doing and he would love to be back. I mean, business is business, so we'll see how that goes moving forward. The XFL's head coaching contracts were a lot different than the USFL's. They were being paid a lot more. Bob Stoops, I think, is the most highest paid coach in the league. That's from the old deal that he had that carried over. So we'll see what happens in the future. It's a pretty amazing story with Wade Phillips, and it's hard to root against him. You know, it's easy to root for him. He's a great coach. He's put in so much great work over the years, whatever it is now, 55 years or so from high school on. So it's good to see. If the Battlehawks are not going to be in it, it's good to see at least him be having this opportunity that he's never had before.
The Battlehawks put something out on social media, too. Wade Phillips had a chance to kind of chat with Hakeem Butler coming off the field last night, and he said, hey, I'm going to tell everybody I know in the NFL, you deserve a chance to play. And it was a really classy statement. I thought it was really cool. And if Battlehawks didn't have a reason to cheer for San Antonio, maybe that gives them a reason to cheer for San Antonio and Wade Phillips.
Right, and there was a lot of bad blood between the Brahmins and Battlehawks players. Tease Tabor trying to injure AJ McCarron, and then there was near fight after the game there. And that was really nice to see. And then the news just broke out recently that Hakeem Butler already has a workout set up with the Carolina Panthers.
Well, fantastic. I didn't hear that. So,
yeah, that would be a heck of a landing spot. Maybe help out Bryce Young there. He could use a big target like Hakeem. So Hakeem is an NFL talent, but, you know, it's a lot of times, you know, these veterans that are in the league, there's like a 3 or 4 year window. You've got hundreds of rookies that enter the NFL every season, and that moves guys out. So even though you can carry veterans on practice squads and all that, so it's good to see Hakeem Butler getting that chance. And yes, that was a heartwarming moment for sure. Very cool. Hard to root against Wade Phillips when you see and hear him do things and say things like that.
100%. Will you be here for the championship game on Sunday?
Unfortunately, because of family deal, I cannot. I wanted to, but I obviously have credentials through SI, Sports Illustrated, and all that. So, it's hard to miss it. It would have been even harder to miss if the Battlehawks were actually playing in the game.
Well, Mike, I appreciate you catching up a little bit with us here tonight, and I'm sure we'll be able to do it again. And maybe at this point next year, we're talking about the Battlehawks into the championship game.
Yeah, hopefully so. You know, they definitely unfinished business going into 2025, that's for sure. No question about it. And hopefully they can get the band back together, and we'll see if they make some additions in the offseason to get them over the hump.
Well, I appreciate the time tonight, Mike. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That is Mike Mitchell for Sports Illustrated. It's at by Mike Mitchell. If you want to follow along with him, he covers the UFL. We'll wrap up this hour of Graybar Sports Open Line right after this on KMOX. Joe Pott back in on the Graybar Sports Open Line. In for Matt Pauly tonight. In for Matt Pauly for a little while here on KMOX. So hopefully that is... That's good for him. That's great that he gets to spend some time with his family, and we get to spend some time here on the air. And as I mentioned earlier on, I'm going to take some calls. So if you are in the car, maybe you're going to be at home, maybe you're going to be in the car. Use the hands-free device, of course, if you're going to be in the car. But call us up at the during the 7 o'clock hour, and we'll talk about anything that you'd like. But specifically, I'm curious about: are you going to Cards games? And if you're not, what was the tipping point? Like, why, if you were going last year, you're not going this year, why the change? I'll throw something else out there, and this is actually from a call I got over the weekend about one of the callers said they wanted to see the Cardinals just tear it down, start over, rebuild. But when you look at the standings and you realize that there is probably a chance that the Cards could certainly still be in the mix for a wild card spot, if not for the National League Central Division, come the time of the trade deadline on July 30th, would you like to see the Cardinals make acquisitions? Would you like to see them be buyers at the trade deadline, as they have been for the last few years until last year, of course? You think about some of the pitchers they've acquired at the trade deadline. Happ and Lester a couple of years ago. You have Montgomery, Quintana 2 years ago. And then, of course, last year obviously went the opposite direction and the Cardinals became sellers. But if that was an option, if it was an option that this team is going to be at least in the mix, would you like to see them try to improve themselves and improve their shot in the playoffs? Because as mentioned, and as I said when I was talking to John Parato, that it certainly feels like that is the way things are going, that a lot more teams are going to bypass the $300-plus million payroll when they can spend half of that or a third of that in some cases be good enough to get into the playoffs, and then you've just got to get hot, and it can happen, and it happened to the Diamondbacks last year, and we've seen it happen to wildcard teams year after year after year, that they make their way to the World Series, and they have the opportunity, or they have the chance anyway, at a World Series championship. We saw the Cardinals get in with 80-something wins in 2006. Now, that was good enough to win the National League Central Division in 2006 and go on to win it. We saw the 2011 Cardinals not even get into the playoffs until the very last night of the season. And, of course, they went on to win the World Series. So would you like that to be an option, or would you just rather it be a tear down and start over? Let's get right into the rebuild, because that's where you're at. And that's fine either way. So we'll do that at the end of the 7 o'clock hour. We'll come back here in the at the start of the 7 o'clock hour. We'll hear from Andy Strickland coming up in this hour, and we'll kind of reminisce a little bit about the Stanley Cup Championship, which was now 5 years ago, believe it or not, 5 years ago when the Blues won the Stanley Cup. So that is what is ahead. It's hour number two. We're coming back here right after the news. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. It is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line, and we're back after the news on Camo X.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.